Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Paul, I think this was read maybe in the funeral, I don't know, recently anyway, where Paul said, the things that are happening to me are working for me. They're working not against me, they're working for me, a far more eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, we look at the things which the world can't see. But God can give vision. I don't mean something you can literally see with your eyes, but I mean something that we know in here to be true because He has revealed it. There is that kind of knowledge that's real, folks. God wants everyone to have it that will turn their heart to Him. All right? So we see the relief happening to the one and the destruction and justice falling upon the other all in one event. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a matter of believing it with your head. There's an obedience that follows that demonstrates that, yes, I do really believe it. Faith without works is dead. It's just theory. But God wants everything we believe about Him to be translated into our lives. Thank God it all comes from Him, doesn't it? Okay? All right, they, speaking now of the wicked, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might on the, when? On the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. I was just pondering this morning and thinking about what in the world, with all the thoughts I had, what in the world are we going to call this? But I think the title is probably right in that verse, in those verses, by His power. We need to know what's coming. But God is not wanting to tell us what's coming to make us fearful and think that, oh God, I can't possibly handle this. Everything has to be seen through this lens by His power. And so here is a people who have in their hearts a desire to please God, a desire to be more like Him, a desire to be conformed to His image and all of those things. Where do they get that? Where do you get that? God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, everything about the kingdom of God is supernatural. He's not looking for anything from you except surrender and looking to Him for all that we need. Praise God. Praise God. That's the key to everything. And you see this picture of fruition. What is fruition? I mean, if you have a fruit tree, what does fruition mean? It means not only a bunch of blossoms, it means they begin to form and they begin to ripen and then you wind up with fruit. The purpose of the fruit tree is to produce ripened fruit. Well, God's got a purpose for this earth. He has a crop, if you want to put it that way, and Jesus did put it that way, that's ripening. There's a harvest going on right now. There's a harvest going on in other parts of the world. Many parts of the world. There's a whole lot going on that God knows about. I just want to be a part of whatever He's doing here. I want Him to work in me whatever He needs to work in. There's plenty. I realize you guys are all perfect, but you've got a lot of work to do in me. So anyway, by His power, He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that grace comes in there, doesn't it? A lot. God's power at work saving unworthy sinners. That's my definition of grace. And boy, I've got to have his power. There ain't nothing in me. All I can do is come to him as an unworthy, helpless sinner, totally unable to live up to his standard. But he comes because of what Jesus did at the cross. He blots out my sins, but he doesn't leave me there and say, okay, now do better. He comes in and begins to give me the brand new life. It's not a matter of being, trying to take someone that's part of this corrupted creation and say, okay, now straighten up and fly right. The only thing you can do with this creation is destroy it. Put it to death. And I'll tell you, when I come to Christ, when anybody really comes to Christ, they are identifying not just with the sacrifice on the cross, but with his death. We're going right with him into that tomb, and we're coming out with a new life. It's supernatural power that we need, folks. May God raise up, not just here, but everywhere. May he call together his people and make his power and the reality of his kingdom known. So now Paul's going to deal with an issue, because we know that, you know, in the beginning, the church, there was a purity and a power to the church, but it wasn't that long before false teachers began to come in. People of Satan said, boy, I got to do something here. And I haven't got the power against this. But I know what I can do. I'm a good liar. And so he says, I'm going to get people that can just kind of begin to twist the truth and mislead the people, and we're going to split them up. Done a pretty good job, hasn't he? Boy, I'll tell you, we need to have our heart saying, Lord, we don't know, and we need you to lead us. Oh, God. It's not like we're going to come up with a plan and say, oh, God, come bless our plan. You know, it's like I read in one book, one of Jim Cymbala's books. He said, the cloud didn't follow them. They followed the cloud. And that's our job. It's like we said recently about the God in a box. We don't sit here and practice Thomasite religion. We need the Lord that sent Brother Thomas to lead us now, to speak in the present. Because if all we have is what we, you know, regurgitating what we have had, we don't have anything. We need the Lord. Praise God. So anyway, the issue that Paul was dealing here had to do with the coming of the Lord and some false teaching. And this... There's more than one purpose. It's not just to establish a doctrine and try to get that right, because the Lord's going to come when he's going to come, and he knows. He just wants us to be ready and to be getting ready, okay? But there's something that's very, very relevant to us, because Paul talks about something that's coming, and from his point of view, it was future. From our point of view, we're in the middle of it. There's something that's unfolding that he's talking about here. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. Now, in all that you talk that he follows to talk about, remember that's what he's talking about. His coming. So what's going to be happening at the time he comes? All right? Is it just going to be in the middle of everyday life and then boom, we're gone? Or is this going to be, this thing's going to unfold that are going to lead up to that? All right? We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us. So somebody come in and wrote them a letter and said, this is what Paul's teaching. Or here's a letter and it's from Paul. It says, this is from Paul. But it wasn't. And so Paul wanted to correct something that had become an error in their minds. All right? Let me drop this in. How do you know that letters from the New Testament are from Paul? Paul had a way of making it plain that they were from him. Do you know what it was? Look at the last verse. The last two verses of this book. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. That's one of the strongest arguments against Hebrews being from Paul. Undoubtedly somebody who knew Paul, but it wasn't written by him. You know, how many remember the passage in Galatians at the end where he says, I write this in large letters? He mentions having eye trouble at that point in his ministry. I have no idea what the connection was with anything else. People have made all kinds of connections that Scripture doesn't. But Paul was having problem with his eyes. Paul dictated his letters. Somebody else sat there with a pen and wrote them out. And then Paul would come to the end and add a personal greeting in his own handwriting. And that particular point, Paul was writing with big letters because his eyes were giving him a trouble. You see, that's... So Paul wants them to know, if there's a letter that's really from me, don't worry, I'll sign it personally. I'll put a greeting at the end. Okay, no extra charge for that. All right, so we're going to tell you not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting, here's the false thing they were asserting, the day of the Lord has already come. I don't know how in the world they were trying to get that across, but anyway. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, you know, it's hard to read something like this without thinking about the popular doctrines out there about this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jews. We're all going to be gone. And then he's going to set up shop in the temple of God. I mean, there's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem, and he's going to go in there and say, I'm God. That's not what this is talking about. And I don't know, one way or the other, God, we're going to have to stay tuned with all of this as to how this unfolds. I have heard it said that this isn't an individual or not, or at all. It's just a general condition. Or I think there's evidence that there probably will be an individual, but he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing unless the condition existed in everybody else. So what difference does it make? This is a condition that's going to take hold of the world of lost men. That's what it boils down to. Okay? Now, whether there is a single man who does this and takes this place, I don't know. I do know, and I've said plenty of times, that there are people who have laid out their plans to establish a global society, bring everybody under their control, and life wouldn't look at all like it looks now. I mean, these are explicit plans that powerful people in our world have. What's the Lord going to allow and when he's going to allow it? I don't know, but it's unfolding. You can see the inspiration behind it. Okay? So anyway, this is coming. Now, what's this business about the temple? Well, I'll remind you of something that was said even in the Old Testament days when they did have a literal temple. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. When he talks about the temple of God, God created mankind to be his temple. His purpose was to live in us. He is spirit, to live within us.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.